you were not able to fill one out, you should do so before the day is over. Dean Miller?
We have a special announcement for seniors. Pastor Brewster of the First Assembly of God Church of Helena, Montana will be on campus tomorrow to interview seniors who might be interested in a position as Minister of Youth in that church. If you are interested or would like more information about the position, please sign up for an appointment with Pastor Brewster in the administration building today. Also, we would remind you that Pastor Womack from the Port Orchard Assembly of God Church will be here to interview prospective students or graduates for the position of daycare supervisor director at the Christian Day Care Center in his church. Another announcement, we are attempting to regroup on the flying seminar. A new opportunity came to us last week, which we are pursuing. We need one or two more who might be interested in going with us, leaving on March 14th and going out on almost identically the same itinerary we had planned on ourselves. We did not get enough to go on our own. If you are interested or would like more information, please see me today, if possible, or sometime during the week. I'll be in my office between 10:30 and 11:30, and then again later this afternoon. Another announcement, all members of the sophomore skit, please meet in the sub-chapel tonight at 9:15. If you cannot be there, please contact Steve Skaggs. Thank you.
In preparation for worship and prayer, let's stand and sing a chorus, How Great Thou Art.
Then sings my soul.
Presence with open-heartedness, with a willing mind to respond to your love. In the atmosphere of our victory, the atmosphere of our praise, we bring two special needs to you this morning. For Marlene Thompson's father, who will have surgery today, we pray thy love and grace and power and ministry shall meet his need. We would ask that you alone will be present with the other skilled men to do that which is necessary, but for the glory of God. Perchance, Lord, you would want to minister before surgery. We would ask you to deal with this one as a son, as your child. And we are thankful for thy power to save and to heal because we have experienced it. We love you not because what you do, but who you are, but you do many wonderful things for which we praise you. For Dolly Crowder, this morning we pray as a student body, one of our own staff persons who has had hospital experience over the weekend with kidney stones. We pray for Dolly this morning, and we bring her before you and commend her to you for thy healing touch. O Lord, you have made us wonderfully, so intricate and so fine have you tuned the human instrument. And when it goes awry, we know that you care, and you're touched with the feeling of our weaknesses. And for our sister Crowder, we pray, just believe in Jesus' name, that the hand of our God will be wonderful and strong in her behalf. And we just pray for her, and we thank you for the answer. Thank you for our time together this morning. We thank you for the words and the songs, for the message of the word, for the experience of men who have lived for you and loved you in the past days. May this be a blessed time together because of the Holy Spirit's move upon our lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said it. Amen. You may be seated.
Today is another of the chapels designated as the Call to Serve series, in which members of our faculty are able to give something of their testimony of how God has led them to service on a college campus such as this. I think this is of interest to students who maybe never see that side of many of the faculty members in whose classes they sit. This morning we have Dr. Pakoda, who has been here for longer than I have. I can't say what year he arrived, but I've been here about 13. He was here sometime before that. So he is well known. His reputation is made among you as student body, I'm sure. And then we have Mr. Randolph, our biology instructor, who's been here for about 7 years. So they will be presenting their testimonies in that order. Just after the Song of Zion, come with their song.
Reading in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 3. But the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape.
The earth is at war, and rumors of more. Both Christians and Jews have been put to the sword. A Jewish nation reborn in our day may return soon. What can anyone say? The times and the seasons have signs and give reasons. Then Jesus will soon appear. The times and the seasons have signs and give reasons that His coming is very near. All spirits are free in society. The church has confused truth with heresy. The prophets have spoken, their warnings recall. Tribulation is coming, and judgment will fall. The times and the seasons have signs and give reasons that Jesus will soon appear. The times and the seasons have signs and give reasons that His coming is very near.
That's what we are hoping for. The Lord is leading our lives to that time when we shall be with Him forever.
I'm glad that this series that the administration has fixed on to have some of us as faculty members, staff, discuss the leading and the call of God in our lives has been named Called to Serve. Because in my opinion, the highest expression of the Christian life is that of the servant. He is not called primarily as an apostle or prophet or evangelist or pastor or teacher or administrator or choral director or youth pastor or missionary. He is called primarily and most significantly to serve. One of the texts of Scripture that has been a guide for our lives over the years is found in the book of Proverbs, and I believe that there are some of the other faculty members who have spoken to the about their own experiences have used this particular section of Scripture. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. For me, the sense of God's call, or the sense of God's leading over the past 32 years as a Christian, has been based, I think, on reflection afterwards of the direction my life has already taken. That after the event has occurred and I have reflected on it, I have sensed that God has indeed led me. There have been a few times in which I have experienced what I would refer to as a special call or a special voice from God to me. As, for example, the time when, as a junior in college, I attended a service in a little pioneer church in Newport Beach, California. And there happened to be a young lady speaking in the evening service. And as I looked upon her, her face was as the face of an angel. And but at that particular point in my experience, I had no interest in that particular angel. In fact, that particular angel had given me a pretty rough time my sophomore year, and would have nothing whatever to do with me. Nothing positive anyhow to do with me. And I had a struggle within my spirit that night, because I really had an interest in another young lady that I felt I might like to learn to know a little better. But God spoke to my heart that night and said to me very directly that He wanted me to help and to serve in that little pioneer church. I struggled against it. I rejected that. I did not want to go, because I knew, or I felt that I knew, that if I did go, this particular young lady that I had my eyes on at that time would not be interested in coming to this particular church, and I would lose her. I struggled against it, but I knew God's call, and I had to go. And I have not been sorry since that time, but that was one of those times when I felt a direct voice of God to my heart. Another time was when I was serving as dean of students here at the college, and I felt in my heart to resign. In fact, I had, and eventually I did, as you would know, but I felt in my heart at that time to resign, and I had the letter written, all ready to present to the president. And I knelt in prayer just before taking the letter to the president's secretary and asking God for direction, specific direction. And somehow there was a voice in my heart. I don't know how. somehow there was a voice in my heart that said this was not the time. And I went to the president and told him, no, I would not be resigning as dean. But most of my experiences have been, as I have said, a reflection upon the past. And I have recognized that in the ordinary, everyday experiences of life, my exposure to different people, that God has indeed directed me. He has led me. As a young person, I had no intention of being a minister or a teacher. In fact, I was headed for the University of California in Berkeley to become an engineer. My loves in high school were mathematics, physics, and drafting, and this was the direction that my life was taking. I wanted to play football very badly in high school. It had been a long ambition for me to be able to play. But my father was of the nature that he just would not see it. There was no sport that was Christian to him except fishing. He liked to fish, and so that was all right. But anything else, baseball, football, hunting, tennis, you name it, ping pong, you know, it was out as far as he was concerned because that was unchristian. I wanted to play very, very badly, but he would not let me. And I think that I see in that now the direction of God. Because if my father had allowed me to play football, those of the faculty might know, I do have a rather fiercely competitive spirit when it comes to sports. And I don't play just to diddle around. I play to win. And had I been allowed by my father to play football, I probably would have gone on to UC trying to play there. But his refusal to allow me gave me the opportunity then to think through different direction for my life. We were very poor in our family, 11 children, and so when I thought about going to the University of California, it meant that I had to stay out of school for a whole year in order to save some money to buy a car and get money to go to school. It was during that year, the poverty of my family led me. It was during that year that the Holy Spirit began to work in my heart and say, look, do you really want to go and build bridges? Do you really want to go and build dams and roadways? Is that the most important thing for you? And God began to speak to my heart during that intervening year, which gave my life a completely different direction. Even at that, I think that my youth was prepared for ministry because as a teenager in our church, we used to have a street meeting every Sunday night before the evening service. Every month we went to a rest home. Every month we went to a Skid Road mission. There we testified and talked with people about the Lord. I preached on the streets or testified on the streets of the city of San Francisco. And I think God was preparing me, even though I was completely unaware of it. He was preparing me for a ministry of some sort. Well, when I finally did decide that the ministry of some kind was for me, the question was, well, which Bible college should I go to? I had no other inclination but that anybody who was going to go into ministry had went to Bible college, and I think that's good and proper. But I hadn't even heard of Northwest Bible Institute up here in Seattle. That was like in the boondocks as far as I was concerned. I was raised in San Francisco, the big cosmopolitan city, you know, and Seattle was a long ways off. And besides, I hadn't even heard of it. And Glad Tidings Bible Institute in San Francisco, which is now Bethany Bible College in Santa Cruz, was just too close to home. I didn't want to go to school that close to home. For various reasons, mostly to get away from my father, I think. CBI was too far away. I hadn't heard of the other schools, and so most naturally then my direction went to Southern California Bible College. And there I again sensed the direction of God. The training that I received there, the men that I met on the campus, the friends that I made and have maintained over the years, my life was changed, drastically changed, radically changed as a result of attending that school. I think particularly of one class, the class in Romans, where my life spiritually was set free. It was there that I met my wife, my sweet and lovely angel, who's, you know, the one who was preaching, whose face looked like the face of an angel. And we have been together ever since. And that's been many happy years together. It was there that I met people at Southern California Bible College who were associated with Fuller Seminary. I had no idea that I would be going there later, but yet that contact was made during those years. After graduating from college, I did pastor this pioneer work for 1 year as a senior in Southern Cal, and then stayed on for 2 years. But the Lord seemed to be giving my life a different slant at that point. I have no explanation for it. I saw a need for further training and decided that Fuller would be the place for me to go. When I went, I intended that I would go into the chaplaincy. That's one of the major reasons for going to Fuller, to enter the chaplaincy. I enrolled in a kind of a seminar sponsored by one of the profs there who was a reserve chaplain, Dr. Lasore, and attended some of those sessions. But I soon began to discover that that was not for me. The chaplaincy was not the direction my life should go. I became fairly well proficient in Greek when I was at Fuller, and so they asked me then to serve as teaching fellow, and I taught all of the incoming freshmen for 2 years in the summer, taught elementary Greek there. And it was that, I think, that began to give me the specific direction for my life. During those years at Fuller, a young man came from the Northwest whose name was David Butterfield. I met Dave. We had great association together in class and outside of class. And it was through him, I think, primarily, the son of a former president of this school, that I am here today. When I was coming to the place of graduation, I realized that I wanted to teach by then, and so I wrote to Southern Cal, my alma mater, I wrote to Bethany, and I wrote up here to Northwest, and everybody turned me down. They had no openings. But somehow, in the providence of God, President Butterfield, there was an opening here, and would you believe for a time I was acting librarian at Northwest College? I can't believe it myself. In fact, I was even coach of the basketball team. But the opportunity came to minister here, and I said, okay, Lord, that I think is the open door that you have for me, and that's the direction we would go. Over the years, God has led. Over the years, God has supplied. And he has fulfilled his promise to lead. That's what he said. That if we would acknowledge him in all our ways, he would make straight our paths. Esther and I have done that in our relationships with each other. We've done this in all through our life. We have sought to acknowledge God in all of our ways. And I can be assured that God has made our paths straight. So that now I'm involved not in building bridges and dams and roads. Those things are going to be burned up when the Lord comes. Now I'm involved in building lives that should last forever, and I praise God for that.
Praise the Lord. I don't know whether this is supposed to be Alpha and Omega up here or not, but... let's see. The Lord is so good. In the middle of my junior year in high school, he called me to commitment. I had been raised in the church and just hadn't taken hold of it, I guess. In the middle of my junior year in high school, at a watch night service, the Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart and says, I want you to commit. And I argued for quite a while, and as most of you know, watch night services start at 7 o'clock and last until 1 in those days. Now they start at 9, I guess. But I don't know. The Holy Spirit had a long time to work, which is good because I'm Missourian by nature. And it takes a while for us Missourians to, I'm an impulsive Missourian, so that's quite a stubborn radical. But the Holy Spirit works, and I says, I don't want to do it, because when I do make my commitment, I want to go all the way, and I'm not sure I want to make that commitment right now. I was involved in high school and was trying to run with the gang and be what I could be with the gang, which wasn't much, but, looking for popularity more than anything else, and, the Holy Spirit continued to deal, and finally I said, well, I know that I can't make that commitment by myself. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to have to rely on your power. And that's what he wanted. He So he didn't want me to commit my works and my abilities to him. He simply wanted me to turn everything over to him and let him do the work. And so I did that night. And now it's been nearly 19 years that Christ has led my life and guided me. And I sincerely praise him that he has made something out of me. I was almost immediately elected in as the CA president. And served a year during my senior year as CA president. During that time, I felt a very definite need for more training. It's a tremendous responsibility to have 50 and 60 young people out there depending upon you for spiritual food. And I was young as a Christian. So I decided in my impulsive way, well, this must be a sign from God that I'm supposed to go into the ministry. And so I'm going to devote my life to become an evangelist. And about that time, the Bethanaires came through from Bethany. And they were glamorous. Oh, they had some of the cutest gals in that. And at that time, my folks kept a couple of them overnight, and one of them could make big eyes and croak like a frog, and I thought that was the neatest thing, you know. They were a very, very smooth group. Now, I had heard the... Well, see, I teach biology now, and frogs impress me. But... But they were a very smooth group. They were very professional in their approach. And I decided, well, that's the place I want to go because I have a very strong interest in music. And so I prepared my heart to go to Bethany and ended up at Northwest. The Lord changed my mind. There was no peace, no comfort in going to Bethany. And I didn't know a thing about Northwest College. I had saw their choir once, and at that time, I hate to say it, but they didn't have a PR director. And they were, well, okay. But anyway, due to influences of friends and also the leading of the Spirit, I came to Northwest College for Northwest Bible Institute at that time in college and to prepare to go into evangelism. And I began to train. I spent 3 years here at Northwest, 1 year on the other side of the lake, and we moved to this campus for my first 2 years. And at that time, I was majoring in biblical lit and minoring in music. I took my year of harmony and all those things that you do. I traveled with the PR quartet for 2 years, traveled with the choral lounge for 2 years. Involved myself in what I thought my life's work was going to be. I was going to evangelism with an emphasis in music. And I think that's an important point, that first of all, you follow Jesus. When he tells you to come, you come and you allow his power to guide your life. Secondly, you follow the openings to serve that you can. And I felt that my life's leading was evangelism and music, therefore I involved myself in evangelism and music. And I, by the way, let me give you a sideline here. I'm on the church board now, and we are investigating four assistant pastors, and we've looked over people from here, juniors and seniors, of course, potentials, and very, very much do we look at what have you been doing while you're at school. Now, that's just a sideline, but I think that's important. If you are involved in ministry, it really puts you in a better light when you're getting out there to the job you plan on doing. So if you're going to be a minister, minister now. Back to my line now. So anyway, I served where I could, and in my third year, my junior year, I developed all kinds of frustrations because the door to become an evangelist was being closed. I just did not have the peace and the comfort anymore that I thought I should have. And I lashed out at God in frustration. You know, what in the world are you doing to me, putting me here in a Bible college and then all of a sudden closing the door to where I thought you wanted me to serve? And I developed myself an ulcer and all kinds of... It doesn't help to fight against God. It really doesn't. At that time, as I was reading, I picked up a couple of verses in Isaiah chapter 30, verses 20 and 21. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. God was telling me that my every move be under his control if I would yield my life to him. And those things which I needed to guide me, my teachers, would be obvious before my eyes. And I think this is important too, that as you are letting Jesus guide your life and you're following the open doors, that you are aware of the teachers. Now they might be circumstances, they might be actual people. And most of these worked in my life. At that time then I was so frustrated I didn't know what to do. And finally, I almost lost my salvation. I did. I backed off and said, well, this whole thing is a big farce. I've missed it completely. I don't understand God at all, and so let's just drop it. But due to some good teachers who at that time happened to be the fellows that were in the quartet with me. They counseled and they guided and they prayed. And finally, God got a hold of my heart and he says, now, I want you to serve, that's true, but I want you to let me choose the capacity in which you're to serve. And so I transferred then down to Cascade College in Portland, spent my 3 years there and got my degree in education because I felt that the comfort at that time was in, if I could not be a minister and affect lives that way, then the best thing I could do would be a Christian teacher and affect people in the schools. And that is a tremendous ministry to spend 6 hours a day with in your lower grades or spend time each day with people seeing your lives. And I had a very effective time, I think, for 3 years in public schools. And a number of kids were coming to me and saying, okay, what about this? I see that you have something here, you have something there, and I was able to witness and to serve and to share in that way. I continue to serve in my church. I have a total of experience of 10 years as a youth director. I have 7 years as a choir director because I felt very strongly God did want me to serve. Maybe not as an evangelist, but he did want me to serve and use the potentials, the capabilities that I had. Well, I still had in the back of my mind, though, that the complete direction of God had not come around to me as yet. And while in Portland, going to Cascade there, I heard that there was going to be a rally in Portland. And I'll never forget that rally. It was from the people from Northwest were down there. And one of the major reasons I'll never forget it is because President Butterfield preached a 2.5-hour sermon at a youth rally. I don't remember all the sermons that he preached that night, but I'll never forget being there in that overcrowded place with about 600 kids in a little 300-chair auditorium. And it was hot and stuffy, and he really let us have it. But my whole intention in going that night was to talk and to see about coming back to Northwest as a teacher. That had stuck in my mind. I talked with Brother Lackey, and he sort of smiled and says, well, tell you what, Bill, you come back after you've finished your master's degree, and we'll consider you for a position. And, well, I hadn't even finished my master's degree at that time. So I stuck that in the back of my head and said, well, all right, Lord, this is what the requirements are to get back to Northwest, and we'll just leave it there, and I'll continue on following your open doors wherever you want me to go. And by that time, I had learned to completely relax myself in God. If there was going to be a job opening, I said, all right, Lord, you open it up, and I'll take it. And this is the way everything has worked in my life since that time. Doors have opened for me, and I've gone that route. I have never had to search for a job. I've been able to get jobs in places where no one else could get them, simply because I felt, well, Lord, this is where you want me to go. I'll apply there, and he opens it up. You see, you leave everything up to him. It's a beautiful experience. Well, then I spent my time in Eastern Washington and was working there as sort of an assistant pastor role. I was youth coordinator and choir director, and I directed all the songs at the beginning of the services. And one Sunday morning, Brother Crowder was coming through, and I was sitting on the platform getting ready to lead songs, and he sat down, and he leaned over, and he recognized me, and we talked. And for some reason, at that point, while our pastor was leading in prayer, he was talking very vehemently to me before service, which bothered some people. I could see them looking, what in the world are they doing if they're talking while the pastor's praying? But Brother Crowder was talking to me about teaching at Northwest at the beginning of Sunday morning service. Well, I was so excited. We had a glorious song service that morning, you know. But I told him, well, I still just have my bachelor's degree. I have gone on and done some further work, but I've done it all in elementary education because I was teaching sixth grade at that time. So I really haven't approached a master's degree in secondary education at all. And Brother Crowder isn't impressed with details. If you know him very well, he's a very straightforward person. And anyway, he made contact with Hurst, and we made contact back and forth. And I just laid everything in God's hands. And I think that's the only way to live, is to lay it all in God's hands. Well, it wasn't long before I received a letter, and they wanted to talk with me, and I came flying over here in my little Volkswagen, spent some time with Brother Hurst, and again, just left it all in God's hands. And as you can see, the Lord put me here. The lesson I learned from Isaiah there is, you know, following his voice, I think, is the most important thing that you can learn. Follow his voice. It may be the teacher standing, it may be circumstances, it may be whatever. As long as you're in the Spirit of God, you can identify what they are. And I think that's important. So then, of course, we had to move over here. And we made a few trips over and looked around this terrible Seattle area, which I had sworn I would never come back to because of the rain and the cold and everything else that it has. And we looked for houses and just couldn't find anything. And finally, the time came that we had to move. And so we loaded up the great big U-Haul and loaded up my pickup and loaded up the car, and we came charging over here. and I had a freezer full of beef, and we drove in, and first thing I had to find was an outlet to plug my freezer in, because everything was melting after that four-hour trip over the mountains. Then we stayed the first night in the boys' dorm. The reason I'm bringing this all up is because Brother Flisserin at that time was in the boys' dorm, and he didn't know he was talking so loud, I guess, but we could hear him through the wall. You know, boys, you can hear through those walls pretty good over there. And he was talking with his wife, and he says, you know, we've got a real crazy guy on campus. He comes flying over the mountains here with a freezer full of beef looking for an outlet. So, I mean, he really proceeded to say what he thought about this crazy new teacher, how in the world he was ever going to work out. He didn't know. But the amazing thing is that in all the time, we've been over three times looking for houses, and nothing opened up. Well, it just so happened that the next day after we got here, they opened up some brand new duplexes, and within the afternoon, we were all moved in and all settled not far from the campus here. And then 6 months later, God opened up the house that we're living in now. But I think what I'm trying to get through to you in all of this is that, first of all, follow Jesus. Because after all, he knows it all. He was in on creation. He knows the reaches of the universe. He is all wise. Tie into the mind of God. Secondly, serve where you can. Because, you see, all these things will have application to your future life. Your abilities, your interests, all of this, follow these, because God has given them to you because he knows what he wants you to do out here. So develop your abilities, develop your interests, follow the open doors, but most of all, follow Jesus, because that's where it all is. I'd like us to stand in closing, and I've gone past here, but I want us to sing without the help of the organ here, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," because that's what my heart does when I think about what God has done for me.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and
campus has been since 1966, as I recall. Came to us from Canyonville Bible Academy, where she had been teaching for several years. Did her work at Evangel College and at Seattle Pacific College, where she received her master's since coming here. Some of you may not know that she came to us single and that she married since coming here as well. She has been a real delight in her spirit and example on the campus. It will be my privilege to have her address you this morning. And then second will be Mr. Francis Tay, teaching in the area of Bible since about the time I came here in 1962. He's been a very good friend through the years. presently has completed everything except his dissertation toward the Doctor of Philosophy degree at the University of Chicago. He, likewise, a man of a wonderful spirit. I never have complaints on Mr. T, his teaching. I appreciate that. So I'm happy to present these friends to you in that order, and they will divide the time between them. This is what we call our Called to Serve series. We have them from time to time because we recognize that what we know, new students coming in don't know, that it is the Lord who brings our teachers to us and guides them into service here. We like to hear their reasons for being here. So first, Mrs. Esther Harmon, and then Mr. Francis Tate.
This is very frightening, being up here among, or in front of 600 instead of 20 or less. But I hope that something that I say and what the Lord has done in my life might be helpful to you. I think my call to serve and to teaching goes back to when I was in high school. There were no bolts of lightning, no direct words from the Lord. It was just the leading in circumstances that made me know that this was what he wanted in my life. First of all, he gave me some definite interests. I definitely knew that I was interested in the clerical, secretarial area. Things such as history, science didn't hold a lot of interest for me, even though I realized that they were important. So I was, of course, planning and took courses leading to that in high school and figured that after I graduated from high school, I would find employment in that area. Was not planning on any further training. Not that I wouldn't have liked to have had it, but it just didn't seem like it would be possible. I've always been a quiet, shy person, and someone thought that my wanting to work among the business world, and particularly among men, which bothered me more at that time, didn't think that perhaps that area of business was what I needed. And I think that this was a suggestion that was from the Lord. So the person asked that I consider possibly teaching business courses. And so I thought about it and prayed about it and decided that if I did train for teaching business courses and found out that this was not what the Lord wanted, that I would still have gained some beneficial skills that I could use in business employment. So this was about halfway through my senior year, so I had to make some changes and start planning towards college. Thankfully, I had taken some courses that would allow me to get into college, and I didn't have to worry about that. So I started making plans to go to Colorado State College. Had received my okay, had purchased a money order to send in my registration fee and my room deposit. This was halfway through the summer, and there was a representative from Evangel College in Springfield that came through and showed a film in our church. And this got me to thinking. And so then I decided to go to Evangel, and I'm sure that this was God's leading, rather than go to Colorado State College. After I got to Evangel, I had some opportunities to help some students in some of the courses that I didn't have too much trouble with, and they were having a little bit of trouble, which was just kind of a confirmation that perhaps teaching really was what I was to go into. Then it was getting time for graduation. I still didn't know where I was going. It's a little bit frustrating, as some of you probably know, to come up to a deadline and not be sure what you're to do. I, of course, had my name in several schools, but they seemed to be slow in making any decisions, and this was kind of bothering me. Then Canyonville Bible Academy in Canyonville, Oregon, sent a request to the education department at Evangeline saying that they needed a teacher in business. So I made application, and a few weeks before school was to start, they indicated that they would like to have me if I felt this was where I should be. I decided to take it after praying about it, and then went to Canyonville. The first year was very rough, and I almost began to wonder, was teaching really what I was supposed to do? I was almost sure after that first year that if I were to teach, that Canyonville was not the place for me. So at the end of the year, I told them I would not be returning. Made applications in several small schools in Colorado, and nothing really materialized. There was one that was kind of waiting. They wanted someone who could teach PE as well as business, and that's definitely not me. The Lord began speaking to me and saying, are you sure you did the right thing when you told Canyonville you would not be returning? So I wrote a letter and says, if you still need someone to teach business, perhaps I can help you. I did not say that I would be willing to return. Left it, well, maybe I knew someone that might want to teach there. Still hoping that this one school would decide that they wanted a full-time business teacher instead of a part-time. Got to the point where I had to make a decision and couldn't wait any longer for this other school to make up their mind. So I did tell Canyonville that I would return, made preparations to go back. The day after I left to go back to Canyonville, the school called and told my mother that they had decided they would take a full-time teacher. I'm sure that the Lord had them wait, because if he hadn't, I'd have probably taken that instead of going back to Canyonville and not been where I feel that the Lord really wanted me. Second year went quite a bit better, so I decided on a third year. The third year didn't go quite so well. It wasn't nearly as rough, however, as the first one. But the Lord just seemed to be closing the door there, and I felt that that was no longer where the Lord wanted me. I didn't say anything to very many people. There were two or three at the school that knew that I would probably not be returning. Contrary to the way I usually am when I don't know what I'm going to do, I didn't become too concerned about it. I had someone who had mentioned the possibility of going there, finding a teaching position there, and working in the church as well, giving them assistance in their secretarial area. Came last of March, the 1st of April, and I brought a couple people up for campus day here and really liked the atmosphere. And it was even harder to go back and finish out the year all the way back. Oh, I don't want to go back and even finish the year. I got back there, and waiting for me in my mailbox was a letter from Northwest College saying that they had heard that I was planning to leave Canyonville, and if I had not made plans, would I be interested in considering coming here? This puzzled me, because I didn't know who could have let them know that I wasn't returning, because the people that I had told, I didn't think it had any contact at all with the school, and they had not. I wrote Northwest a letter saying that I hadn't made plans yet and that I would consider it. I didn't, however, think it was possible, because I didn't have my master's degree yet, and this is usually a qualification. In about 2 weeks, I received a letter, it was a phone call, asking if I would come up for an interview. I did, and before the weekend was over, they had offered me the position if I wanted it. Seemed a little bit frightening because it would be starting the business department here rather than just stepping into someone else's shoes and carrying on. And I went back and prayed about it and felt that this was what God wanted, and so I did write them a letter telling them that I would accept it. I still did not know, because they hadn't indicated during the interview, how they had found out that I was planning to leave Canyonville. Going back just a little bit, that summer between my second and third years at Canyonville, of course, had to find some kind of employment. I had car payments to make. My salary there just was for 9 months, and I had to live, make car payments for June, July, and August. I finally found something that was to begin a little bit later in the summer. I went to Brooks Camp Meeting, helped them in the office a little, as well as attending the services. And then they asked me if I would like to go to Camp San Yam and help them in their camp registrations and so forth. This sounded a lot better than the job that I had lined up as soon as camp meeting was over. But I had made my promise, and so I went back to this other job. During the 2 weeks of camp meeting, however, the woman had had another stroke and was much more difficult to care for, and so they felt that they needed someone who was more adequately trained to care for her while her husband was away at work. So I was there 3 days, and the job was over, still with car payments to make for the rest of the summer and nothing coming in. A little bit upset, I went back to Canyonville, and then Andy Davidson called another business teacher there and says, can you come and help us in our camp registration? She had other plans, but she told him that my job had fell through and I ended up at Camp San Yam. As usually happens during the summer, Northwest PR team went to Camp San Yam in the interest of recruiting Oregon young people to come to Northwest. It was through that that I ended up being at Northwest, I found out later. Got a little bit acquainted with one of the members in particular of the PR team. She, as well as the principal at Canyonville at the time. And he was one of the people that knew that I would probably be leaving, although I hadn't definitely said anything to him. He, however, was also planning to leave Canyonville at the same time and had been in contact with this member from the PR team. He indicated his plans to her, and through the Lord, she felt that if he was leaving, I would probably be leaving as well. So at the end of what would have been, or not the end, about the middle of what would have been my third year at Canyonville, announcement was made in chapel indicating that they were starting or planned to start a business department and were looking for suggestions in people who might be interested and qualified in coming to teach here. She went to the master chapel and said that I was planning to leave Canyonville because she figured that if the principal was, that I would too, because of similar interests and feelings that we had and what was being done at Canyonville. And through this, then they wrote to me indicating or asking me if I would like to come. Since coming here, I've continued to feel that the Lord is leading me. One summer, he led me to go to Panama and help missionaries there using skills that and interests that he had given me. And I even feel that he led me to the person who is my husband and there's something that he has indicated that I would like to leave with you, because I feel this way a lot that the Lord has led me and might be of benefit to you. He had spent 3 years at a Bible college, and they had just a three-year program. At the end of this, he was wondering what he was to do. And his classmates were coming to him saying, I'm going such and such a place. Where are you going? And this bothered him. So he really began seeking the Lord about it. The Lord told him, my will for you is the same as my will for everyone else's life. That is that you follow me one step at a time. And if we're following him one step at a time, if he takes a step to the left, we will follow him. His step for someone else may go to the right. He can go in many directions at one time. So I hope this is beneficial to you.
That's good advice. Don't expect the Lord to tell you at the beginning everything that he has in store for you. It might scare you. As I was going through high school, before I ever reached a decision as to what I would like to do with my life, I had looked around the classroom with my fellow students and reached a conclusion about one thing I would never do, and that was be a teacher. Of course, I was thinking of high school students. I never even considered the possibility of teaching at a higher level. If I had, I would probably have ruled that out also. But the Lord didn't tell me I should be a teacher right then. He worked up on it rather gradually. Actually, my major interest was more in the area of mathematics, and that was the area I was looking toward. However, at a youth camp, somewhere along the line in my high school career, we had a speaker who challenged us during one of the sessions as to whether we would be willing to follow the Lord in whatever he directed us to do. And in all good conscience, I was unable to respond to that. It bothered me. I knew that as a Christian, I should be willing to follow the Lord wherever he wanted me to go. But I just could not respond because I had some fairly definite ideas as to what I did and did not want to do with my life, and I wasn't quite sure the Lord would agree with them. And I wasn't quite ready to trust him in regard to that. But that continued to bother me until eventually I was willing to make the commitment, hoping, of course, the Lord wouldn't make any foolish decisions there. As I say, I was more interested in mathematics. Fortunately, it didn't end up that way because we had a very limited mathematics program in the high school, and I would have probably been in over my head if I had ended up going that way. In any case, along my last year in high school, time began to arrive to make some decisions. My older brother had already felt a call to the ministry, had been surveying various Bible colleges, had catalogs from Assemblies of God Bible colleges all over the country. I had looked through some of them, and without any plans for going to Bible college, I had reached a conclusion. I couldn't really see what his problem was. It seemed there was only one logical decision to make. There was a Bible college just less than 200 miles away from us, so I could see no real problem there. And if I were making the decision, then a fairly easy decision. Since we were located in central Missouri and there was one about 180 miles away in Springfield, that seemed a rather logical choice. However, I had no plans to go that way, but the Lord gradually began speaking to me as to the possibility of going into the ministry. I felt more and more definitely that this is what the Lord was leading me into, but really wasn't too enthusiastic about the idea. If that's what he wanted, all right, I would go that way. But I began to feel more and more definitely that perhaps that was what the Lord was leading me into. So, to try to reach some sort of a decision in it, I put a fleece before the Lord, a fleece of sorts. After I got to Bible school and learned a little bit more about the theology of fleeces and so on, I checked back to see if I had done this properly, and I think that I had done so. That is, if you'll check that account in Judges regarding Gideon's fleece, Gideon was not seeking to determine God's will by the means of the fleece. He already knew that. The question was, is this really you talking to me, Lord, and are you going to back me up in it? And essentially, that is the decision I had to make. I think I knew that it was really God speaking to me, but I wanted some definite confirmation that this was really the Lord. So I put this fleece before the Lord. It looked for a while as though maybe he wasn't going to come through. But at the last minute, it did work out. The thing was confirmed, and so I decided to go to Bible school. However, I was only about 17 and a half, a little less when I graduated from high school. So I had a year, I felt, before I needed to go to college. So I got a job planning on earning a little bit more money before I went on. Before the summer was over, the plant I was working in closed down. So I thought I might as well go ahead anyway. As a result of what I had saved and a gift from a relative, I had enough money to pay for my first semester, so finding a job was not a pressing problem. I had, again, a little bit of time to look around for a job. But at the same time, it was one that had to be solved before too long because that was all the money I had. A few weeks after getting there, word circulated that they were hiring on campus, so I got a job on the campus crew making 50 cents an hour, which we didn't get cash. That was credited to our account. A few years later, they progressed to the point where we were paid cash, and before my career there was over, I was up to 85 cents an hour, which was about top wages. So you don't have it so bad. Tuition, of course, was lower then also, but I don't think it was proportionally that much lower. In any case, the Lord supplied, and by working regularly, I was able to meet my obligations to the college. Each year I'd end up a little bit in debt to them, but I'd be able to pay that off before the summer was over and save a little bit more. So at the end of my college career, I came out just about even. I'd planned to go into a five-year THB program. During my fourth year there, the college instituted an MA program, so I decided to stay on for that instead of the THB. At the same time, I was getting a little bit tired of studying, so I decided to split it between 2 years instead of doing it all at once. So altogether, I spent 6 years at CBC. During the last year, I was married between semesters. As graduation approached, the decision, of course, came up, what are you going to do after you graduate? Some of you are facing that. And an opportunity then opened up for me to go back to my wife's hometown and serve as an assistant to the pastor there. It was an unpaid position. Went to Grand Rapids, Michigan, and served as an assistant to the pastor in one of the churches there for a couple of years. Good experience. I was working full-time to support myself. I got some experience in the pastorate, and as time went on, the idea began to develop in my mind and that of my wife that maybe I wasn't cut out to be a preacher. She denies having said it, and she really didn't say it, but sort of the essence was there that maybe I should be a teacher because I wasn't going to be a very good preacher. Any case, when I preached, it mainly came out as Bible studies anyway, so began to feel that perhaps this was the area that the Lord had given me aptitude in. So there, again, the Lord can guide in indirect ways. If the Lord had told me he wanted me to go to Bible school to prepare to be a preacher or to be a teacher, I would have probably backed off and said, no way. However, the call to some type of ministry, I prepared for that. And then the Lord guiding me by what abilities, aptitudes I had toward perhaps the teaching ministry rather than the preaching ministry. So after a couple of years in assisting the pastor of the church, I went back to school, Wheaton College in Wheaton, Illinois. I spent a year there, including the summer before and the summer after, working on a master's program there. After I'd gotten a well start in the program there, it looked like things were going to, I'd be able to finish the program pretty much on time. I decided I should start looking for a job for when after I graduated. Near the end of the first semester of my program there, I wrote to all of the Assemblies of God Bible colleges. And I think I got letters back from most of them. The opinion was unanimous. They didn't need me, but they had my name. They let me know if they ever did. I believe one school did send me an application form, but that was for future reference also. I began to think perhaps, since there was no immediate demand for my services, maybe I should go on beyond that to a further program. I began looking around. As a result of the information from one of the faculty members there who was involved in the same program, I looked toward the University of Chicago, where they had a program in New Testament and Early Christian Literature. So I applied there, was accepted conditionally for the following fall. That is, I had not completed my thesis for the MA at Wheaton, so I was accepted tentatively by the University of Chicago. They allowed me to attend classes, but I was not fully accepted until I finished my MA at Wheaton, which I did and received my MA in the following January. That's in January 63. Meanwhile, I was involved in the program at the University of Chicago in the first of the 2 years' residence work. Up to this point, the Lord had been following through, meeting all of my financial needs. As a result of savings, my wife working, scholarship monies, I was able to finish out my program at Wheaton also with a clear balance, and I had enough saved ahead that I made it through the first year at the University of Chicago. However, since I was accepted conditionally, there was no possibility of receiving scholarship aid at the university. I received my MA in full acceptance too late for applying for scholarship aid the following year. So it looked at this point as though I was going to have to go in debt for my education. Applied for a loan. During the following summer, we applied for a loan. It was approved. I went ahead and signed another year lease on the apartment. All set to go into the second year at the University of Chicago. Then, about the middle of the summer, July the 26th, I received it on the 27th to 28th of the July, a letter from the then-dean of this college asking if I was interested in a position here for the following September. This was the end of July. They needed someone very quickly to complete the faculty for the following September. As a result of contacts there, I decided to come out here. I'd never seen the campus. I had never been any further west than somewhere around Oklahoma City. I had no idea what this area was like. And contrary to current practice, I was not flown out here to look the campus over. I had my pre-employment interview with President Butterfield in O'Hare International Airport as he was on his way through to the General Counsel in Memphis. In any case, it worked out. The contract was signed, and late August or early September, we packed all of our furniture in a U-Haul trailer and headed out this way. So, that is the way that the Lord has guided me here. I think the hand of the Lord was in it. I won't say that I wouldn't have been hired here if they hadn't been desperate, but that did speed things up somewhat. I, of course, had to notify the University of Chicago. I did not want their loan, and also they graciously allowed me to cancel my apartment lease for the following year, since it had been signed in advance anyway. And so, in the fall of 1963, actually, Dean Rice had 1 year seniority on me. I came here the year following his, and for a while we were next door to each other as far as our offices were concerned. So, we came out here in the fall of 63, and I've been here more or less ever since. I did take off 1 year to go back, a year's leave, to go back to the University of Chicago to complete my residence work. That was about 7 years ago, and since then I have been working on my dissertation. Someday, and I say that in faith, it will be Dr. Tay, but not yet. So those of you who have been calling me Dr. Tay, and I have not taken time out to correct you, you are hereby corrected. That is incorrect at the present stage. and one last word of thanks to you all. However much you may have grumbled, I'm glad you haven't complained to Dean Rice.
Praise God. Will you stand? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the teachers that you've given us on our faculty here. We pray your blessings upon these who have spoken to us today and all the others. They may fulfill your purposes for bringing them here. May they find joy in service. May we all find the unity of the Spirit day by day. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you.